Good singing. You may be seated.
There are times in this life when fear is so heavy and burdens lay on your mind. You are weak in the knees and no strength can you find. Just hold on, help's right on time. My Jesus, He's always on time. And though you may see a valley, He sees the mountain you'll be standing on. When all you can see are the tears falling down, I'm so glad He sees what we don't. I've seen His children walk through the darkest midnight. I've witnessed faith put to the test. And I have watched as the storms flew in with the thunder. But in each trial, He knows what's best. And I am so glad He knows what's best. And though you may see a valley, He sees the mountain you'll be standing on. When all you can see are the tears flowing down, I'm so glad He sees what we don't. He knows the end from the beginning. He looks ahead past the hurt and the pain to a place where His peace passes all understanding. He sees the sun through the rain. And though you may see your valley, He sees the mountain you'll be standing on. When all you can see are the tears flowing down, I'm so glad He sees what we don't. Yes, my Jesus, He sees what we don't.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for singing that song. Such powerful truth there. He sees what we do not see. Praise the Lord for it. If you would take your Bibles and turn with me to Proverbs. If you open your Bible to the middle and find Psalms, you go one book to the right and you'll find Proverbs. And when you're there in Proverbs, if you'll go to chapter 6 with me. Proverbs chapter 6. When you find your place there, if you would please stand with me as we read the Word of God. If you would, we'll start at verse 16 and we'll read the next four verses together. We'll read 16 through 19 and we'll read them all out loud, pausing at the punctuation. Starting verse 16, we'll end at verse number 19. Proverbs chapter 6. Let's read this all together and begin. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Our Lord, we do love you, and we're so grateful for your word. Lord, we're grateful that you would allow us the health to be able to come to your house and meet with your people. But Lord, we're asking that you would help us to rid ourselves of all of the distractions and help us to focus on your word and the message you've given Pastor Becker. We ask that you would fill him with your spirit, that you would allow him liberty as he preaches to us this morning. Speak to us, we ask. May we draw closer to you because of it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
And thank you. You may be seated. As you see it, if you take a moment, make sure your cell phone is silenced or turned off. That would be helpful. You don't go too many places where you don't hear some kind of dinging, buzzing, something going on there. So, church, we should be able to just set that time alone for the Lord, right? Amen. Oh, we could have that prayer at least. All right. We're in Proverbs chapter 6, and the Bible says in verse number 16, it says, these six things doth the Lord, what's the next word? Hate. Why does God hate sin? Is it wrong to hate? Many times Christians today are accused of being hate mongers, that we hate everyone and everything around. Hating is not wrong, and if it is, then God sinned, and we know that God did not sin. The Bible says, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Everyone hates something. Me, for one, I hate coffee. I know that I'm like an alien from another planet to those of you addicts out there. I'm not part of the cult. Maybe someday I'll get in. I don't hope to be. For those that are not the coffee drinkers, we just want to be left alone. We don't want to be bothered. We don't want to be enticed or something stuck in our face or smell this. I don't like the taste of coffee. I don't like the smell of coffee. And I just don't. I drink tea with a whole lot of honey. And it's mostly for the honey. And that's what I do. There's a number of things that I hate. I hate snakes. I'm not holding a snake. I'm not petting a snake or owning a snake. They bite, and they're poisonous. And I don't know the difference between one over the other. And so that's why I don't do snakes as pets. I hate the Seahawks. This means nothing now if you're a 49ers fan, but I hate the Seahawks. My brother-in-law is a Seahawks fan. We went on vacation one time up to the Seattle area, and they decided we should take a tour through the stadium. I was like, I hate everything about this tour. The only thing I did like is they took us through the locker rooms, and in the locker room they had a whiteboard there, and someone on the whiteboard wrote, go 49ers. I was like, all right. I enjoyed that part of it. Again, that means nothing to those of you that don't care about sports or if you're 49ers fans, because we're out of it now anyway. There's things that you hate, isn't there? Things that really just set you over the edge. And the Bible says, these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him. Hating is not wrong. Hate is a strong dislike, an enemy. And then an abomination where it says, and seven are an abomination, an extreme dislike, a hatred. It's putrid in the smell, in the taste, in the sight of God. In today's society, sin is so much promoted, encouraged, passed into law. We're even as Christians, where it seems as Christians that we have made friendship with the world and with sin, and we, because the world has said it's okay, we say it's okay. But can I tell you something that God does not agree? God hates sin. I hate to ruin the service preaching about sin, but let's try it for a little bit if we can. It was such a great service with all the singing about the Lord and how great he is. We will talk about the Lord this morning. Of course we will. We're going to talk about this. Why does God hate sin? Why does God, not that he doesn't care for it, he hates it. He hates sin. Number one, because God is holy. God is holy. In today's society, we want to take God and bring God down to earth to be just like one of us. That, you know, Jesus was a friend of publicans and sinners, and so if he partied, we could party too. I can tell you this, God did not party with sinners. God is holy. God hates sin because in his nature, he is holy. It's not even that God did not sin. God cannot sin. God is incapable of sin. He was, Jesus Christ was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Not a single wrong thought, action, word, or intention. Why? Because He is God. It's hard for us to understand holiness in a way, because nothing that we see today is holy, is pure, is perfect. Even the things that they say is perfect and pure, there's imperfections there, but God is holy. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, it says, "There is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside thee, because there is any rock like our God." Because God is holy. He is perfect. He is sinless. There is no sin or wrong in God. You could search and find nothing wrong with God because He is holy. You look around and we can find a lot of imperfection, can't we? Amongst ourselves and others in this world today, why does God hate sin? Because God is holy. The Bible says, "But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because as it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." I think about that. One day we'll stand before God, and as it is sung in heaven, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." One day we'll bow before God and we'll sing that same song, I believe. Holy, holy, holy. There's nothing holy here that we have on earth. We have a God's holy word, but as in regards to people and things we see is not holy, but God is holy. If you understand the holiness of God, then you understand God's hatred for sin. We may have a hatred for sin, but we are sinners. There may be things that we dislike or hate, but God has never once sinned. Never once has there been sin found in God, and never will there be. In Isaiah chapter 6, it says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet. And with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips and dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand. He had taken with the tongs from off the altar and laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged." When you come before God, we see holy, holy, holy. We sing that song, "Holy is He." And how great is our God. How wonderful is our God. When you understand how great God is and how perfect God is, we understand, as Isaiah would say, when you come before God, "Woe is me." When we stand before God's presence, God is not impressed with our holiness. God is not impressed with our goodness. Our righteousness is even as filthy rags in the sight of God, because He is holy. Why does God hate sin? Because number one, because God is holy. God is perfect. And God is calling us to holiness. He is not calling us down. God is always calling us up to be more like Christ. Be holy, for I am holy. May today we get a renewal of holiness in our churches. May we have a renewal of holiness in our homes, in our churches, in our country. God looks upon our country and must be disgusted at the unholiness that He sees, because He is holy. He is holy. Why does God hate sin? Because He is holy. Number two, because sin separates us from God. You think of Adam and Eve in that Garden of Eden. God made two perfect people in the garden. The only two perfect people other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to walk on the face of this earth. And He created them, put them in the garden, and they walked and talked with God in the garden in the cool of the day. Could you imagine just spending time with God? That's because there was no sin at that time. And they chose to sin and took of the fruit of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they chose their sin over God. And when we choose sin, we always are choosing sin over a holy God. And that sin, God told him, in the day ye eat thereof, ye shall surely what? You'll surely die. And sin separated them from God. And God cast them out of that garden of Eden and separated them from God. And God put that clothing upon them. And there was now a distance between Adam and Eve and God. Sin separates us from God. The Bible says in Isaiah 59, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, your sins have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. My sin has separated between me and God. You are God's creation. You are made in the likeness and the image of the Almighty God of heaven. God created you. Why? Because he wanted to have fellowship with you. God wants to spend time with you, but our sin, it separates us from God. And today we want to say, well, my sin doesn't matter. It's okay. Everyone's doing it, but it's distancing us from God, our relationship with God. And we'll get to the point in a minute, to the point where sin, even one sin, separates us from God for all eternity. Sin separates you from God. It puts distance between you and God. It takes you out of fellowship with God. Why does God hate sin? Because God wants to have fellowship with you. And when you sin, holiness and unholiness do not go together. They do not mix. If you were to take a clean glass of water and pour a bunch of dirt in it, you wouldn't think, there's a lot of good water in there, would you? It's pretty good. You know that dogs will drink out of pretty much anything. And when I mean anything, say anything, I really mean they'll drink out of anything. They'll drink out of a little puddle, dirt, the toilet, whatever it is. They don't really care. You don't look at them and say, ooh, there's a lot of good in there. There's a lot of good water in there. You think there's a lot of filth in there. There's a lot of junk that shouldn't be there. Sin separates us from God. Number three, why does God hate sin? Because sin blinds us from the truth. Sin blinds us from the truth. We have a world today of those that are blinded by sin and by the devil and this world, and they are blinded to the truth of God. Isn't it amazing today how many people believe a lie? How many people actually believe what they hear on the news? They actually believe what they read on social media. They actually believe what the devil is teaching. Think about that. Sin is blinding people from the truth of God's word. God's word is holy. It's holy. Think about that for a minute. It's holy. It's perfect. It doesn't need to be changed because it's perfect. It's holy. It doesn't need to be improved. Why? Because it is holy. It came from God. Forever, O Lord, thy words are settled in heaven. This is the word of life that God has given to us. We hold a holy book in our hands, but sin blinds us from the truth. Where sin and Satan are trying to teach you something opposite from God, and where Satan is saying, don't believe that book. That's not from God. That's just written by man. Don't go to church. It's just a bunch of phonies and fakes, just like everywhere else, at the gym and the store and your job. I'm not saying we should have phonies and fakes here. We should be sincere, but there's sinners here just like there is anywhere else. Amen? Sin blinds you from the truth, and Satan is trying to keep you from knowing the truth. John chapter 1 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. See, God or Satan wants to blind you from the truth. Satan doesn't want you to know God. Satan doesn't want you to hear the gospel. Satan doesn't want you to get your life clean and right with God. Satan wants you to live a life of darkness, away from God, blinded from the truth. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. There's people today walking in darkness. The Bible says they know not at what they stumble. They don't know where they're going and what they're doing. They're seeking for truth or happiness somewhere, but sin has blinded their eyes And only the gospel of Jesus Christ can open their eyes to the light of God, to salvation. People walking in darkness, the Bible says he's blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of God, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. See, Satan wants those that are walking in darkness to stumble and to fall and to never know God. He wants people that are living a life of sin to continue and to go further down that road because Satan doesn't want them to know God. He doesn't want them living for God. Satan wants more on his team going to destruction. Sin blinds us from the truth. Number four, why does God hate sin? Because sin destroys lives. No one knows about the destruction of sin more than God. No one has seen more lives destroyed by sin than by God, than God. I think of Lot. I think Lot raised in Abraham's house, and Abraham and Sarah were not perfect, but raised in a good home and taught the word of God. Abraham, known as the friend of God, and they raised Lot as their son. And it came a point where Abraham had to separate. Abraham said, "You go one direction, I'll go the other." And Lot lifted up his eyes, and what did he do? He looked at the well-watered plains of Jordan. And he went, "Ooh, that looks good. You choose with your eyes. Ooh, that sounds good. Ooh, I like that. That is always appealing to the flesh." And he looked at the well-watered plains and said, "That's good. I'm going to go that direction." And he chose that direction not just for him, but for his family. And they started going that direction. He ended up in Sodom and Gomorrah, a place of wickedness. He sat at the gates there. He raised his family there. They indoctrinated them there by the things of this world to a point where Abraham prayed only for the angels to come and to say, "Lot, you got to leave. Destruction is coming." And some refused. Lot and his wife and their daughters left that city only for his wife to turn back, becoming a pillar of salt. Escaped with his two daughters who committed horrible, wicked sins with their father. Where did that come from? A life of sin. Sin destroys lives. I'm tired of hearing about how we want to save our country through climate change, and we allow alcohol to run rampant through our country. I'm all for curing cancer, but how about curing the sin of alcohol in our country? I hate sin. There's maybe nothing more that has destroyed more lives in our country than the effects of alcohol. Ruining homes and lives and marriages and health and jobs and pulling people away from the Lord. God hates sin. He doesn't allow it. He doesn't, a little bit of it's okay. He hates sin, the Bible says. He hates it. It's destroyed lives. Sin always ends in divorce, broken homes, neglected children, ruined health, addictions. You could go on and on. That's what sin brings. The Bible says sin, when it's finished, it bringeth forth death. Why do we think that we can play around with sin and it's going to turn around good? Why do we think we can make friends with the world and it's going to turn out good for us? God hates sin. So as a child of God, why as Christians are we playing around with sin? Sin destroys lives. The problem is this, that we think that we are the exemption. That it destroyed their life, but it's not going to destroy my marriage. It destroyed their life, but it's not going to destroy my children. Yes, it will. It bringeth forth death. It's going to end in destruction somewhere along the way. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Sin destroys lives. Look at our country today. I'm looking forward to the inauguration here as much as anyone coming up soon. But again, our country is not going to be turned around by a president. By people getting right with God. Repenting of sin. Turning to God in holiness. Sin destroys lives. Our country is turned away from God in such a wicked way. It's despicable, hated, abomination in the sight of God. Why does God hate sin? Lastly, because sin sends people to hell. One sin. If you're guilty in one point, you're guilty of all. The wages of sin is death. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, this is the second death. Why does God hate sin? Because people are dying, going to hell every day. Sin is not a game. Sin is what nailed our Savior to the cross. Remember the Jews, they said, let that sin, let his blood be upon us and on our children. When Jesus was nailed to the cross, your sin and mine is what nailed him to the cross. It's not a game. Fools make a mock at sin. There's destruction that comes from sin, and it's a place called hell that each and every one of us deserve. The wages of sin is death. There's people that have been burning in hell for eternity. Just as heaven is eternal, so is hell. They're forever. Eternity with God or eternal separation from God, the torments of hell. God does not want a single person to go there. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God hates sin because it nailed his Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and God the Son, to the cross. But sin is sending people to hell every single day. Sin is not a game. The Bible says in the book of Amos, chapter 5, verse 14, it says, seek good and not evil that ye may live. And so the Lord of hosts shall be with you as you have spoken. Hate the evil and love the good. Too many times we're making friendship with the evil. And we're like, I don't really need this holiness stuff. I don't really need church and I don't really need Bible to be closer to God. Today's Christianity is how close can we get to the world? How much can we look like the world, act like the world, as opposed to how much can I be like God? God doesn't say to be like other people. He says, be holy, for I am holy. We are called to be like Jesus Christ, to be like God. Are we going to get there? No. But that's what we should strive to be like God. The Bible says that God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. May we have a revival today of holiness in our lives. Holiness, separated from the world. Satan is constantly trying to beat and to get sin and temptation into our homes, into our lives. And as Christians, we must push aside that darkness, that wickedness, and choose to live righteous lives, to live holy lives, separated from the world unto God. The Bible says in our passage there, these six things that the Lord hate. God hates sin. He hates it. He despises it. You could imagine the thing that you hate more than anything else. Maybe an event of something that happened in your life or something that you would choose or not choose. God hates it more than that. And when we choose to sin, God hates that sin. He loves sinners. Don't forget that. God loves every sinner. There's nothing you can do to lose and to get yourself out of the love of God. But God hates the sin that we do. Sin always takes from you. It takes. It steals from you. I think of that prodigal son, and he chose to leave his father, to leave that protection of where he was and wanted to go to that far country. And the Bible says he wasted his substance with riotous living. Didn't say he had a lot of fun. A lot of joy, a lot of pleasure. He wasted it. And the Bible says then he began to be in want. That sin left him with nothing and no one. Eating with the pigs. Living with the pigs. And I don't mean this in a degrading way, but there's a lot of people that live that way. Living in just the hog slop of life. Choosing to live a life of sin. Sin is always a choice. Sin is always a choice. You cannot choose maybe what someone may do to you, but you choose for your life. If you're going to live holy and righteous or a life of sin, and he at some point got up and he came to himself, the Bible says. He said, I want to go home. I want to go back to my father. And he went back and hugged on his father. They embraced. They said, you're home now. He asked for forgiveness, got it right. May we have a revival of holiness. These six things that the Lord hates. Have we become to loving sin today? Have we come to loving sin? Have we come to just being okay with it? I don't love it. I don't hate it. I know it's not right, but to excusing it, thinking like the world, may we have a biblical view of holiness, a biblical view of God and His Word, and a biblical view of our own lives. How many times do we give ourselves the pass when God says, you're wrong? Why does God hate sin? Because God is holy. Why does God hate sin? Because sin separates us from God. Why does God hate sin? Because sin blinds us from the truth. Why does God hate sin? Because sin destroys lives. Why does God hate sin? Because sin sends people to hell. May we have a biblical view of sin today, but may we have a biblical view of God today. Head bowed and eyes closed, please, this morning.